David Bowie May Be Gay, 100 Years of LGBT Music. Written and read by Darryl W. Bullock. Once upon a time in a disco far, far away. When I asked him what kept him going to discover new music, John Peel looked at me, smiled, and said, "The next record I hear might be the best record I've ever heard." Since that moment, that has been my life's motto. Sean Dixon, a.k.a. Hi-Fi Sean. Now, I know what you're thinking. Surely the world doesn't need another book about music, does it? Well, maybe it does. Over the centuries, countless volumes have been written about the lives of the musicians and composers who have enriched our world with their performances. And we have become accustomed to lapping up the lurid minutiae of our favourite musicians' lives. We have all heard the, completely false of course, story about Mick, Marianne and the Mars Bar. And we are intimate with the childhood traumas of the individual Beatles. We quite literally know what Elvis's last movements were before his fiancée discovered his lifeless body. Assuming, of course, that you believe Elvis did in fact die in 1977, and he isn't still wandering in and out of the crowds that gather at Graceland daily as a white-haired man in his 80s. Yet although the lives of many mainstream artists have been laid bare in print, there have been surprisingly few attempts to document the influence of gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgender musicians on the development of the music we listen to today. True. For years now, tabloids and newsstand weeklies have been filling their pages with such trivia as Elton's latest falling out with Madonna, lists of Freddie Mercury's former sexual partners, or stories about what really caused George Michael's tumble onto the tarmac. But while celebrity spats and the more sensational aspects of someone's sex life or drug use may grab the headlines, the contributions that many LGBT recording artists have made in propelling popular music forward have been all but ignored. Obviously, there were LGBT writers and performers before wax cylinders and shellac discs became the norm. 17th century Baroque composer Jean-Baptiste Lully and Arcangelo Corelli were both gay. Tchaikovsky, despite his disastrous marriage to a woman who I am not in the least in love, as he described her, and all Soviet efforts to portray him as heterosexual, had a string of male lovers, including his own nephew. Both Schubert and Handel have been outed biographers, and even during a Victorian period, when urban myth would have you believe that the redoubtable monarch refused to believe that such a thing existed, lesbian composer Dame Ethel Smith was already making a name for herself for her operatic and sacred scores. The discovery, in the second half of the 19th century, of a method to record and preserve sound meant that music quickly became much more accessible to a vastly wider audience. Suddenly, LGBT musicians were no longer limited to the music hall stages or opera houses of the world's major cities. They could reach into the homes of everyone coming to terms with their own sexuality. Sitting in your room, scared and confused, hearing a voice on a record telling you that you were not alone was like having a comforting hug from a friend. And just as everyone who bought the first Velvet Underground album or attended the Sex Pistols' legendary gig at Manchester Lesser Free Trade Hall is said to have gone on to form their own band, those voices that came crackling through the horn, out of the speaker, or over that transistor radio would influence every generation of LGBT musicians that followed. The LGBT community has spent over 100 years pioneering musical genres and producing some of the most lasting and important records of all time. However, even though every music mogul worth his wage packet, and sadly, even today, it's almost invariably a he, is fully aware of how important the Pink Pound is in supporting the careers and record sales of their gay-friendly acts. Do you really think that Cher, Madonna, or Kylie would have lasted as long as they have in the cutthroat music industry without their fiercely loyal LGBT fanbase? Far too many LGBT musicians have seen their stories straightwashed or completely brushed under the carpet. The roles of LGBT people in the theatre, in the cinema, in photography, and in classical music have been thoroughly examined by worthy writers. But the contributions of members of our community in the fields of pop, folk, punk, electronica, and so on have been all but ignored, unless you happen to have been lucky enough to be one of the handful of artists to make the big time.